Hello, welcome to Refreshing Truth, the weekly podcast for River of Life Lutheran Church here in Goodyear, Arizona. My name is Pastor Lincoln Albrecht, and God's word for our consideration for today comes to us from Romans chapter 13. I'll begin reading in verse 1. Let everyone be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Consequently, whoever rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers hold no terror for those who do right, but for those who do wrong. Do you want to be free from the fear of the one in authority? Then do what is right, and you will be commended. For the one in authority is God's servant for your good, but if you do wrong, be afraid, for rulers do not bear the sword for no reason. They are God's servants, agents of wrath to bring punishment on the wrongdoer. Therefore, it is necessary to submit to the authorities, not only because of possible punishment, but also as a matter of conscience. This is also why you pay taxes, for the authorities are God's servants who give their full time to governing. Give to everyone what you owe them. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. If revenue, then revenue. If respect, then respect. If honor, then honor. This is the word of our God. Grace and peace are yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus, the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. Amen. There are three ways that a person reacts when they discover they're in the middle of a minefield. The first, and probably something everyone goes through in this moment, is fear paralysis. You recognize a wrong step can mean the end, so you don't move a muscle. But you can't wait out a minefield, so you have to do something. The second reaction maybe is the mad dash, sprinting in any which direction to get yourself out of this situation. I suppose we could say that at least this is decisive, but just because you're being decisive doesn't mean you're making the right decisions. The third way is a more level-headed approach. Slow and steady, observing little details, crawling on your belly, radioing for help, listening well. Today's topic and text is a spiritual minefield, especially here and now. Paul says, let everyone be subject to the governing authorities. When it comes to our relationship with those who serve in our government, there are many people who are overly confident in their own intelligence, their own knowledge, their own skill, their own logic. But that isn't the approach that God gives us here. A Christian must be, as Jesus says, as shrewd as a snake and as innocent as a dove. Doves are not birds of prey, but symbols of peace. Snakes don't look to pick fights, but there's ground they won't concede. So if we are to live as God calls us to be shrewd as snakes, innocent as doves, as we subject ourselves to the governing authorities, we cannot look to national norms, cultural convictions, historical practices, even our own hearts and minds to direct us. We must humbly approach this according to God's word and trust in Him in all things. Because this is a spiritual minefield. So a wise person operates carefully, methodically, humbly, and conscientiously. As Christians, we recognize that we need to step slowly. We want clarity, guidance, safety. We need to be willing to crawl on our bellies and listen well. Thankfully, God's word does give us everything that we need. Paul speaks pretty clearly here when he says, let everyone be subject to the governing authorities. And he goes on to say that rebellion in any form warrants judgment. So he advises us instead of giving the governing authorities trouble, give them what you owe them. If it's taxes, pay taxes. If it's revenue, income taxes, pay that. If it's respect, then respect. If it's honor, then honor. And maybe it sounds like Paul is giving really practical advice. He says, don't break the rules, you won't get in trouble. We might wonder what is spiritual about that. Wouldn't any ruling body tell you the same? Here's where it's helpful for us to see the greater context of Romans. In Romans chapter 12, Paul tells us a number of things about our role in society. He says that we're to live in harmony with one another. If it's possible, as far as it depends on us, to live at peace with everyone. To love our neighbor as ourselves. He reminds us that love does no harm to a neighbor. See, God wants us to see that being subject to the governing authorities is an important aspect of our role in greater society. So we want to know what that means for us, right? When we hear be subject to the governing authorities, we might equate this with obedience. But as God maps this out for us, he does not say, obey your government. And for good reason. Being subject or submitting to the governing authorities is much more than outward obedience. Though it's also a little bit different. What Paul writes to us is this, that every soul to the authoritative powers above them must submit. It's a clunky way of speaking, but it's interesting that Paul includes the soul. What is it about a person's inner spirit that directs us when it comes to our role in society? Well, one of the things that God is highlighting is that outward civil obedience isn't enough. I mean, it might be all the governing authorities demand, but God's standard is higher. Worldly powers may merely say don't murder, but God says don't hate. This is what it means to live as doves. We are to be the presence of peace. God tells us to submit in material things and in spirit. There are times where we owe concrete things like taxes and revenue. And there are times that we owe abstract things like respect and honor. Rebellion brings concrete and abstract consequences too, right? Sometimes the punishments are financially painful. Other times they're exhausting in a way that's harder to quantify. We're told to submit because of possible punishment, but also as a matter of conscience, a recognition of our accountability to God. Our actions and our attitudes matter to God when it comes to submitting to the governing authorities. And this is hard for us. It's hard for us to submit fully because we're sinful, we're prideful, we don't like being told what to do. And we know that the governing authorities aren't perfect. In fact, many times they're far from it. But we also must admit that it's hard for us to submit because we are Americans and we have a very different relationship to our governing authorities than most people have had throughout human history. America was once referred to by Great Britain as the obstinate daughter across the sea. As a country, we have been historically insubordinate. Really, our country owes its existence because a conglomeration of colonies banded together to rebel against king and crown. That founding still impacts our attitudes. The form of government that our founding fathers established was a direct response to the ills they identified in other places. So they created a hybrid form of governing that's still hard to pinpoint. Are we a republic? A democracy? When a civics teacher can't really identify what form of government we have, it's easy for us as citizens to misunderstand our role. There might be a part of us that feels like our elected representatives work for us. After all, we choose them through our votes, we pay their salaries with our tax dollars, and if we don't like the job they're doing, we replace them. Thinking of the governing authorities as people that work for us is so pervasive that when the officials are running on the campaign trail, they tell us that they work for us, that they'll fight for us. They even describe themselves as public servants, and I suppose, in a sense, that's right. It's good. They do serve in a public way, and it's even biblical to speak of service, but God says that they're his servants, not ours. That ultimately they're accountable to him. Now, it's wonderful when the governing authorities let a verse like this guide them and their behavior in office, but but we need to let it guide how we view them too. The president, the governor, the senators, and the House of Representatives, none of them report to us. They're God's servants. First and foremost, they are each held accountable to God. And so are we. We are called to submit to them, to give them honor and respect, even if they're on the other side of the aisle. That means we can't be in favor of anarchy. We can't be apathetic. We can't say that we're submitting, and if we can't say that we're submitting, honoring and respecting the office, but not the individual in the office. If we do that, we're ultimately loving and trusting in a modern golden calf. This time it's just an elephant or a donkey or a timber rattlesnake. We must recognize that our political rivals are still God's servants. So submitting in spirit means that we must willingly pay our taxes. Governing officials dedicate their time to this work, so they deserve our support. Means that we can't tell the governing authorities to leave us alone, to stay out of our business. Means we can't tell them that they owe us anything more than upholding the law. Submitting means that we honor and respect those we did not select. It means we honor and respect the laws of the land, even when we think they're foolish or pointless. It means that we give respect to those in authority. They don't have to earn it. No police officer has to demonstrate that he's one of the good guys for me to obey him. The president doesn't have to fulfill all the promises I hoped he would or she would to earn my respect. Even when those in authority do not behave in ways that are honorable to me, they are still owed honor by me, because they've been established by God. They're God's servants for our good. This isn't our job description for them. This is God's declaration. He's established their authority, and he says it's for our good. And there's a part of us that wants to argue with God's viewpoint. We want to bring up the wicked and ruthless leaders, the immoral and the corrupt laws, individuals like Hitler and Stalin, but God says pretty clearly there's no authority except that which God has established. Now, they may not rule in a way that is God-approved, but that doesn't mean that the power they wield isn't God-ordained. We're not just called to honor and respect good governing authorities, but we even have to honor the wicked ones. In fact, that's what Paul had in mind as he was writing this. You see, the current Roman emperor was Nero. In the next decade or so, he was going to systematically persecute Christians. He would make it a capital offense to believe in Jesus Christ as Savior. Paul himself would be beheaded because of his faith. It wasn't for no reason that Paul said, "We face death all day long. We are as sheep to be slaughtered." Kind of makes our arguments feel a little weak, doesn't it? Our excuses for not honoring or submitting to the governing authorities feel painfully thin, right? More often than if we're honest, our reluctance to submit is more about our ego than our soul. It's more about our savings account than our spiritual convictions. It's more about our opinions than our faith. There are times, however, where it may seem like a terrible burden, a tragedy for Christians to submit to the governing authorities. But God promises two things. He says this is for our good, and that his good overcomes evil. Now, we might wonder, how can God make such a bold claim? Well, there's anecdotal evidence in the Old Testament. You think about men like Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, Daniel. They were in Babylon, in captivity, and yet they respectfully stood up against the governing authority. When they were called to worship something that was false, or not pray to the one true God, they obeyed God rather than men. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were thrown into the fiery furnace for not bowing down to Nebuchadnezzar's golden statue. Daniel was thrown into the lion's den for praying to the one true God. All four were miraculously spared by the Lord. Of course, there are plenty of other examples where faithful folks have been executed by wicked authorities, but even in these situations, good still triumphed over evil. We know that because we see that in Jesus. Jesus had religious governing authorities And he had political ones, too. The chief priests were in charge of the worship life of the nation of Israel. They hated Jesus, so they arrested him illegally under the cover of darkness. When they tried him, they hired false witnesses. And yet, despite all of this wickedness, Jesus continued to be respectful. He even honored the haughty high priest Caiaphas. And when they brought Jesus before Herod and Pilate, Jesus still remained respectful. When Pilate told him, "Don't you know that I have the power to free you or to crucify you?" Jesus responded, "You would have no power over me if it were not given to you from above." Jesus recognized that even Pilate was in this position because of God's wonderful plan. As the soldiers carried out Pilate's wicked orders, as they beat and crucified him, Jesus blessed his enemies, prayed for his persecutors, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." Even though Jesus had never sinned, even though he had all authority in heaven and on earth, he didn't escape. He submitted himself to his Father's plan. The nails were driven through his hands and feet like anybody else. He was mocked and insulted. His crucifixion was excruciating. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, they were all spared, but not the Son of God. But the wrath of a holy God against sinners was poured out on him and only on him. And God did this for our good. Jesus took our place for every time we've been disrespectful or insubordinate. He was executed, though he did nothing wrong, but Jesus didn't stay dead. Good triumphed over evil. On Easter Sunday, Jesus showed that death has no power over life. God used contemptuous chief priests and insecure Roman governor to bring about our good, our eternal salvation. Jesus is the greatest proof that God ultimately governs all things for our good. So we can fear, love, and trust in God above all things, even when evil seems to reign. It is this God who suffered for our good, who died for our salvation, who tells us to submit. And oftentimes doing the right thing is rewarded in this life. Good governments have lots of good reasons to reward good citizens for good conduct. But what about when they punish us for going God's way? Do we still submit? Well, this is where it's important we recognize that submission is more than outward obedience. Paul has been careful to set up a hierarchy for us. He says governing authorities are God-established, they're God-instituted, but they're also God's servants. We submit because they're above us, but we do so knowing that they are still below God. That is why submission is a matter of conscience. In Paul's life, this was very clear. He preached Christ, but he knew how Rome regarded Christianity. But his submission to the governing authorities was still guided by his conscience. When God and government diverged, Paul went God's way, no matter what it meant for him. He had to obey God rather than men. He trusted that even if he were going to be punished by men, he would be protected and rewarded by God. For us, maybe it's a little bit like when you were little and your parents left you with the babysitter. You listened to her because you recognized that she was given authority by your parents. If she told you to do something against their will, you would hesitate. You'd speak up because you recognized that while she was in charge, it was temporary. She was the servant of someone greater, and she was certainly not infallible. Same is true of our governing authorities today. God's placed them in charge, but they're not infallible. It's God's will that by doing good, we as his children will silence all the ignorant talk of foolish people. We're free in Christ, and we need to live as free people, but we must never use our freedom as a cover-up for evil. We must remain as innocent as doves, but we should also live as shrewd as snakes and recognize that there is ground we can concede and ground we cannot. We know where our home is. Our citizenship is in heaven. Anything that threatens that demands a response. At the same time, we also know that it's God's design for this world and for society that is unsurpassed. It's for our good. We want the good of society, too. We want our country to prosper and flourish, not just economically or intellectually, but spiritually, too. And God has blessed us with the mechanisms to encourage that. In our country today, we have the right, the responsibility to encourage the governing authorities to honor God's design. We want to live in a country where the sanctity of life and marriage and are prioritized over the pursuit of individual happiness. We want to live in a world where the truth and personal property are honored and defended. We want things like this because this is God's design. And God's design charges the governing authorities with the task of upholding this design. So let us pursue what is right in God's sight and trust that He will commend us in eternity. Let us live as innocently as doves and as shrewdly as snakes. God has promised good will overcome evil. Amen. Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Refreshing Truth, the weekly podcast for River of Life Lutheran Church here in Goodyear, Arizona. My name is Pastor Lincoln Albrecht. It's been a pleasure and a privilege to proclaim God's word to you. If you'd like to learn more about what we believe and teach, I invite you to visit our website at azriveroflife.com. May God continue to bless and keep you. Until next time.